Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. This is Trans Awareness Week, a time to highlight and really think about the issues and the visibility of our trans brothers and sisters. A new documentary about a very special medical community based right here in New York City comes out today in virtual cinemas across the country, including Film Forum. The film is called Born to Be, and it features a title card right at the beginning of the film that reads, "In 2015, New York became the 9th U.S. state to require all health insurance plans to cover gender-affirming surgery." From there, it takes the viewer into the halls of the Mount Sinai Center for Transgender Medicine and Surgery, which was established in 2016 and is a relatively new part of the Mount Sinai medical care system. Born to Be was directed by Tanya Cipriano, and in the film, we follow Dr. Jess Ting and his team. We watch as Dr. Ting consults with his patients, prepares them for transitional surgeries, and ultimately performs the work he specializes in: reconstructive microsurgery, gender-confirming breast surgery, and gender reassignment surgery for male to female and female to male. Joining me now is Dr. Jess Ting himself. Hi, Dr. Ting.
Oh, hi, Allison. Thank you so much for having us.
Of course. And also joining us for the conversation is one of his patients featured in the film, Jordan Rubenstein. Hi, Jordan. Thanks for being with us.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
And listeners, I want to let you know we might be discussing some anatomical terms during this segment. Jordan, how did you first hear about Dr. Ting and his work?
So I actually heard about Dr. Ting through my primary care provider, who is trans herself and really deeply embedded in the community. So I sort of knew that this was going to happen before it had even completely come to be. I was really excited and followed as it became a reality.
So Jordan, would you mind describing for us what your first consultation was like, and what were your expectations of that meeting?
Definitely. So I had a lot of ideas coming into my head of for my body and my needs, what things specifically I wanted out of surgery. So I came in with really a long list of questions and of what my priorities were, and Dr. Ting was very patient and empathetic and listened to me about my individual needs, and we were able to really work together to find a plan that both would help fix my dysphoria and you know, be a reasonable and good surgical plan for him. So it's a really, really good to get a lot more information and also, you know, have my questions answered and get assurance from Dr. Ting.
So Dr. Ting, you'd been a successful plastic surgeon in New York. What did you think when you first heard about this plan to expand and invest significantly into the area of transgender surgery at Mount Sinai?
Well, to be honest, when I first heard about this, I didn't know the first thing about transgender people or their medical care. And, I mean, I did a little research, and all I knew was that there was nowhere in New York City, New York State, for trans people to have surgery or to get any medical care. So I just realized there was a huge unmet need in our own community.
What questions, Dr. Ting, did you ask yourself before you committed to doing this?
Well, I mean, the first question was, am I going to be able to do this? This is mm-hmm. not something that I was trained in. It's not something that any plastic surgeon is really trained in. In fact, there are no training programs for it. So, I mean, I was scared. I was at, you know, the middle to end of a career, and then I'd have to go back and learn all these new operations. So I was worried, would I be able to do this? Is this something that I could do and provide the care to the community that they so desperately needed?
What is unique about the Mount Sinai program, Dr. Ting, now that you've been in this world, in this medical world, for the past 4 years? What do you think is truly unique about your program?
Well, I mean, if we backtrack to 2015, 2016, there were no other programs where trans people could get this kind of comprehensive care, including psychiatric care, mental health, mm-hmm. social work, primary care, and surgery. It didn't exist. So that's the first unique thing about it. Secondly, there are trans providers within the medical center and within that program itself. So that is another unique facet of the program.
I have to imagine, one of the reasons I asked Jordan about that first consultation, I have to imagine, Dr. Ting, that is such an important moment. So for you, you know, as a doctor, what have you learned about medicine from having to rethink and having to sort of relearn in some ways your profession, given that you were, you know, top of your class and all?
Well, what I learned is that there is a whole population of people, human beings, that have been living in the shadows of society ever since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. Transgender, non-binary people have existed forever, but they've been neglected, marginalized, ignored, discriminated against, and just forced to live sort of on the margins of society. And in medicine, in healthcare, there was no place where trans people could come and get safe and quality care.
Dr. Ting, where did you see bias in medical care that you maybe weren't aware of before?
Well, there are many providers who don't feel comfortable caring for trans people and who won't. If you call up almost any surgeon and say, I'm trans and I need surgery, I mean, many of them just won't do it, or they don't feel comfortable, or they're not trained. I mean, to be honest, it wasn't even something, if you had come to me 10 years ago and asked me if I would do that, I would probably have said the same thing. You know, it's just not something that I'm trained to care for or trained to do.
My guest is Dr. Jess Ting and Jordan Rubenstein. Rubenstein, Jordan, am I getting it right?
It's Rubenstein, actually.
I'm glad I asked, Rubenstein. The new documentary is called Born to Be. So, Jordan, what made you want to participate in the documentary? You're already going through this enormous moment in your life, and now a film crew is going to follow you.
Definitely. It was a very intimate thing to agree to, but I had known that I wanted to transition for many years before things aligned in a way that it was possible for me to be able to transition. And I had been researching the procedure I was getting for many years, and knew a lot about it through my in-depth research, but found it was something that at the time was really just there wasn't a lot of information about, and it's mm-hmm. Not very accessible, that information. So to me, it was really important both like to raise awareness among trans people of the options there are, and that this is something that's feasible, and that, you know, there are solutions to help with dysphoria, and we're deserving of getting the surgeries we need. And then also to shed light on, you know, by seeing people go through the transition process, and how much these procedures mean to the people who get them. I'm hoping that it will really make a difference to in the medical field, to mm-hmm. medical providers, in all different types of things, like at pharmacies and mental health providers, and just across the board, that there should be more training as far as providing trans-sensitive care and providing transition-related care. And I'm hoping this will help to show the importance of that and help there, so that there can become more programs like this around the country and around the world.
Dr. Ting, we also see you in your work we see you with patients, but we also see you in your home as, you know, a single dad, co-parenting, balancing life with your kids, with this high-pressure job, as well as having a camera crew follow you into the OR. What was it like for you to have this crew following you in these intimate settings?
You know, that was the hardest thing. I'm naturally a shy person, and at first I just wanted to have them film patients. But the director, Tanya, and producer, Michelle, were like, no, you need to be in it. We're following you. So, I mean, I got used to it, and after a while, you stop noticing that there's a person with a camera on their shoulder following you around, and it kind of becomes second nature. But okay, it was an adjustment.
One of the sort of charming refrains in the movie is, you're this doctor with this pioneering surgery. You're helping people lives. In many ways, you're saving lives. You're number one in your class, but you keep getting lost in the hospital. It's so funny, and just this, like, you just like, which way do we go? And down this halls. Why did you keep getting lost, doctor? I know it's a silly question, but it's just funny to watch you.
Yeah, so it's just my personality. If you tell me you have to get from point A to point B by going this route, I'm always just thinking, you know what, there has to be a shortcut. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try this other route. So I'm always looking for shortcuts for how to get through the hospital to the operating room as quickly as possible. And, you know, these buildings are old and they've been cobbled together, so there are lots of secret passages, and I am always getting lost.
My guest is Dr. Jess Ting and Jordan Rubenstein. We're talking about the documentary Born to Be. They are both featured in this documentary. I do want to play a clip from the film. This is of another patient named Kashmir, who is talking about, you know, Kashmir's older and talking about the profound losses in the LGBTQ community, what they faced over the past years. Let's take a listen.
Like Paris is burning, everybody in that tape is dead. Everybody in the ball with the bowman and all that, they are dead. The Paris is burning, the whole tape is dead. So I'm one of the old queens that is around still to live, to tell the story about it, you know?
And we had Jenny Livingston on the show, along with Saul Williams-Pandavis, he's featured in her film, Paris is Burning. And it was really powerful to talk to them about their time filming and that community that is in the film. And Jordan, I'm so curious for you, what was your reaction when you watched this film, when you saw older generations and the way that Kashmir talked about what she had been through, and in terms of how your generation is approaching trans rights and opposing trans visibility? Do you feel like a sense of responsibility in any way?
Yeah, I think I stand on the shoulders of the trans people before me who had it much rougher than I do, and advocated to make the world safer for trans people. And at the same time, I definitely feel a responsibility with things still not being anywhere near ideal to make things better for the people who come out as trans after me. The suicide rate for trans people is nearly 10 times the national rate. And I personally have struggled with thoughts of suicide and depression in the past. So it's something that's very personal to me and something that I care passionately about trans people being able to be supported and not have to face that anymore.
Dr. Ting, during the course of the film, we see how much of a need there is for this kind of work. And it becomes a little bit of a challenge, a source of tension at the hospital and within the community, because there's such an overwhelming demand. Would you share a little bit about some of the growing pains of this particular center?
Yeah. So since we were the first, when we opened our doors, we did it very quietly. We didn't advertise. We just told a few primary care doctors. And within like 3 weeks, the word got out on the street, and suddenly we were getting calls around the clock. Our phones were ringing off the hook, and we had a waiting list of 300 or 400 patients just within the first few weeks. And that was because there was nowhere in New York City, especially if you didn't have the means to pay thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars and travel to Thailand for surgery, there was nowhere to get that care ever. So being the first, we were just overwhelmed, and our waiting list quickly grew to hundreds of patients in maybe a year, waiting to get an appointment and then to have surgery.
And that caused some difficulty. We see it play out in the film. Before we run out of time, I do want to ask you both. We just went through an election. Jordan, when you think about the Supreme Court as it is and the potential impact on trans rights, what do you think about?
Oh, it's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. I hope that that changes in the administration can undo damage that has been done.
Dr. Ching, what are some improvements to care and access to care that you hope to see from the incoming administration?
Well, number one, just a recognition that trans and non-binary people are human beings just like you and I, and deserve care. They deserve health care. They deserve not to be discriminated against. And I would like to see trans and non-binary people across the country, particularly in states where there are no protections for trans health care. People should have access to care everywhere you live, not just in New York, but in red states as well. And that isn't the case today.
My guests are Dr. Jess Ting and Jordan Rubenstein. They are featured in a new documentary called Born to Be, which is being released virtually today. You can see it, access it at places like New York's Film Forum. Dr. Ting, I wanted to ask you to give a shout out to Zill Goldstein, a nurse practitioner and program director of Mount Sinai Center for Transgender Medicine and Surgery. What does her personal experience contribute to the level of care at Mount Sinai?
Well, number one, Zill is trans herself. So she provides a level of understanding and empathy of the trans experience that is just priceless. And Zill has been doing this for many years, long before our surgery program came into existence. She worked in primary care, providing health care for trans people. So having that sort of history and long experience providing care in the trans community helped us so much when we were starting out the surgery program.
And Mount Sinai has the first transgender surgery fellowship in the U.S. for up-and-coming doctors. Dr. Ting, how do you think this could make a difference in this type of care?
Right. Well, there is a huge shortage of surgeons and healthcare providers to provide healthcare to the trans population. So we were the first. My first fellow, Bella Avanesian, who was featured in the movie, The day after she finished her fellowship, I hired her as my partner. And the person who took the fellowship after her, his name is John Pang, and I hired him as well. So all of a sudden we went from one to three surgeons, and our wait lists went from a year to 3 or 4 months. So it makes a big impact, training more surgeons and more doctors to provide this much needed care.
Jordan, is there anything you would want someone to know who's thinking about transitional surgery? What would it be?
Yeah, I think just if it's something that you want, you know best what you want for your body, and to go for it and find how you can make it happen. Also, just to touch on one thing, thank you, Dr. Ting, for mentioning non-binary people. Being non-binary myself, I definitely felt a level of from society at large that perhaps transition was only meant to be for people in a certain situation. Like if you're a binary, a trans man or a trans woman, there's gatekeeping around different people getting surgery and just knowing that it's like a choose your own adventure thing that any trans people, no matter how you identify, you know, you deserve treatment for your dysphoria and you deserve to be happy in your body.
There's a whole nother subplot line in this film about you, Dr. Ting, that you went to Juilliard. You're a fantastic, amazing musician before you even went to film school. We'll consider that a tease for people. There's lots of reasons to watch the film, but that's such an interesting part of the film as well. Dr. Jess Ting and Jordan Rubenstein, they are featured in the documentary Born to Be. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.